So I'm not always good at the church calendar stuff, so I messed it all up this week. I didn't realize that the end of November is the beginning of Advent, so we're not quite on target. I'm going to be speaking this morning from Matthew chapter 25, and if you'd like to read along with me, the Bibles are there in front of you. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through verse 30. Jesus in the midst of a talk, and he says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Wowzers. So I've been told that my blue eyes are one of my most redeeming features. Humbly, if I might humbly say so. Unfortunately, blue eyes are also extremely sensitive to light. So I wear sunglasses a lot when I'm outside. And I had a favorite pair of sunglasses that my son gave me quite a few years back. They were made by a company called Spy, which is a higher-end company. And they were great because they worked super well, both in bright sunlight, but also when you were traveling between sun and shade, like in a walk somewhere that was shady. And one of mine and Donna's favorite things to do together in the summer in New Jersey is to go canoeing on the rivers in the Pine Barrens there. And we would take the dog, we would rent a canoe, we would get a picnic lunch, and we would set off for a day-long trip in the summer down the river. And I happened to pride myself in my paddling skills. I was taught properly by my father how to paddle on the rivers of Maine. And I paddle from the back and can steer from the back, and I can bark orders to my wife in the front just to make sure she doesn't mess it up. And we have a perfectly good working arrangement. Well, one day, we're traveling downriver, And we had just crossed over an abandoned bridge that had been built there, and there were quite a few obstacles, and we managed to work our way through those, getting stuck and then getting unstuck. And once you got over that obstacle, it opened up and made a wide curve, and there was this beautiful sandy beach, and Donna says, "Let's stop there." So I dug in my paddle to make a hard right turn. She paddled from the front to make a right turn, and the dog changed his position too because he wanted out, and immediately we were going over. And I don't know how this happened, but I had this premonition that if I just rolled my body out of the canoe, perhaps the canoe would right itself. So I just rolled out into the water, and when I gained my feet and got up out of the water and cleared out of my eyes, there was the canoe, upright. It hadn't tipped. But there was something different. There was a glare, and the water was really bright, and the sun was really bright, and the trees were greener, and the water was browner. And I realized that I'd lost my good pair of sunglasses, and they didn't float. The lenses on a good pair of sunglasses give me a much better perspective on a bright, sunny day. They allow me to enjoy the sun without losing the shade. And our passage this morning is about a particular perspective on life. It is about lenses on life in this world as we know it now. And the story, like a good pair of sunglasses, gives us a way to view life, to view the world. It filters the light in such a way that it can help us to appreciate life better if we view it through these lenses. The context of the story that I read is a talk by Jesus called the Olivet Discourse. It is one of the longest speeches, recorded speeches of Jesus in the Bible, given to his disciples on the Mount of Olives just outside of the city of Jerusalem. And in the Olivet Discourse, Jesus is explaining to his disciples how things are going to end. That's really what it's about. It starts with a discussion about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It goes on to give some veiled details about things that you can expect when the end is approaching. And then it ends with a series of three stories or three parables about how to be ready for the end. It's about a ruler. Our story is about how to be ready for the end. It tells the story of a ruler who's getting ready to go on a long journey, and he entrusts to three of his servants a particular amount of money. It's the measurement in the Bible is called talents, and talents was usually a measure which was used for gold. And one talent of gold was approximately 20 years' wages for the average working man. So 5 talents of gold and 2 talents of gold and even 1 talent of gold was an extremely large amount of money. And it doesn't give us the instructions that he gave to them. He just gave it to them, and then 2 of them knew immediately what to do with it, and they put it to work. And one of them just hides the money in the ground. And when his master returns, he calls them to account. The first 2 had doubled their money, and the last 1 dug it up, gave it to his master, and says, in effect, "I know you're demanding, so I hid your money so I wouldn't lose it. Here you go." And that doesn't go over so well. We've been talking all through November about our vision statement, loved by Jesus, loving others. And our vision statement is a pithy, centralizing way of capturing what we want to become as people of West Church, those who are full of being loved by Jesus and consequently love others. And then we've been talking about our vision script, which is a description of 5 core ministries around which we organize what we do as a church. And I've spoken to you about worship, discipleship, outreach, leadership. And today, I'm going to conclude speaking to you about stewardship from this passage today. In Matthew chapter 25 of the Olivet Discourse, verses 1, 14, and 31, Jesus is telling us this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is a set of lenses through which we view life until Jesus returns. And the first thing I want you to see from this passage is this. Everything you have is a gift from God. Everything that you have is a gift from God. The story is about a master who gives his servants large amounts of money to care for until he returns. They are servants of the master, and the money that he gives them is for them to use until he returns. And this is a perspective on life called stewardship. That is, everything that we have, our lives, our bodies, our health, our dreams, our abilities, our personalities, our possessions, our jobs, our homes, our relationships, our families, all of these things are, first of all, God's good gifts that he has given to each and every one of us. And God's gifts are completely unique and completely different for every single individual. And they're not just ours. Our master has given us these things that we can enjoy them as good gifts from his hands. Now, our culture is very, very, very much into individual rights, the acquisition of personal property, and enjoying the good life for yourself. And there's nothing innately wrong with having nice things, enjoying a good life, or being free in this world, except forgetting where it all comes from. It comes from God, our Maker. And everything we think of as ours is a gift from Him. The greatest human problem isn't poverty or lack of freedom or racism or the economy or whether your preferred political party is in office. The greatest human problem is that God made us for himself. He gave us all that we have, and having received it, we turn our backs on him and say, thanks for that now, God. Leave me alone. I want to do life my own way. Last Sunday night, we had a time of sharing in which dozens of people came together on Zoom to share about what they're thankful for and to listen to other people give thanks. That's how it should be. Because everything that we have is a good gift from our God. Another derivation of this is of being a steward is that the master provides for his servants all that they need. With the money that they received, the stewards could expect to make a decent living. And God isn't stingy with his benefits. He's not some cheap employer who's trying to get the maximum amount of work for the minimum amount of rewards. He gives us every good gift, everything that we need. God has given us some magnificent facilities here as West Church, as a group, together, as a collective. I remember the first day that Matt Brown and Diane Haywood brought me to this place on a Saturday morning. I was reflecting on the size and the cleanliness and the space and wanting it to fill it with people because, you know, that's what pastors dream about, filling places with people. And it's a beautiful facility with a lot of potential for more. And I can't help hoping that God will do that. We had 34 people here a couple weeks ago, and it was on a work day, and it was an absolute blast to see the very young and the very old and the very in-between all working together to spiff this place up for winter. And your trustees work carefully, faithfully to care for our facility, counting the offerings, caring for the costs, planning budgets for the year to come. We have a beautiful property, and parents love to come and bring their children to play on the playground here during the week. And people like to stop on their bikes or when they're walking and sit at the picnic table and talk to one another and have a drink. And some people just like to hang out in the parking lot waiting for their next thing to do, whatever that might be. We even have some money in the bank. So we're not living hand to mouth as a congregation, and things are well maintained, and we don't have any big surprises coming, and we have insurance for when they do. And God has given all that we have as a church to steward for Him. And it is a spiritual matter that He has given us this trust of all of these things. So everything we have is a gift from God, but secondly, it's yours to invest for Him. It's yours to invest for Him. I think I mentioned before that I worked in a family business, crabbing, commercial crabbing, and it was a pretty good business, and I made a lot of money as a young person, and so my father taught me how to invest. So every month, I would take all of the money that I didn't need to live on, and we would write a check off to Fidelity Investments, where Sheila works, and Fidelity would put my money to work and hopefully help it to grow so that when I needed it, when time for college and my graduate school, it would be there for me. Jesus' story is similar to that. The master gives them the money according to their capability. Servant one receives 5 talents, servant two receives 2 talents, servant three receives 1 talent. Jesus doesn't mention the specific instructions, but he mentions in verse 15 that he gives it to them according to their abilities. He obviously thought that each and every one of them was capable of handling large amounts of money. And 2 out of the 3 servants immediately started investing and earning more with what they had. This is a lens for what life is like living for King Jesus. He has given us everything which we enjoy, and we should certainly enjoy everything that He gives us, and joy is part of the Christian life. But what He gives us is also His, and we are stewards for the Master, and it all belongs to Him. This means that while we are enjoying His blessings, we are to use them for Him. We are to invest. It means that all your money isn't yours. It means that your home, it's not yours. It means that your body, not yours. It means that your abilities and your dreams, they're not yours. It means that your time isn't all yours. It means that your life is not all yours. It is a gift to invest for the Master. When I was leading the 5 people who have expressed interest in becoming members of West Church, I was explaining to them that our ministry is supported by the gifts of those who worship here. And when I was a 15-year-old young believer, my church there taught me that I should give a tithe based upon the teachings of the Old Testament. So if I made $1,000 that week on the bay, I put $100 in the plate. And I thought it was something I should do, so that's what I did. And when I got married, when I had a family, sometimes as I put that check in, I kind of wished I could have some of it back. But now, after years and years of doing it, it just comes naturally to me. I don't even think about it. And then with electronic giving, it just disappears from my account. I didn't even have to write a check. Now, it's clear that the tithe is an important principle in the Old Testament. Jesus did not condemn or stop it as a good thing in the New Testament. And the New Testament clearly teaches about giving a proportion of what God blesses us with. For some who are newcomers to the church, trying to support a family, a tithe might seem almost impossible. And for others, it's like a drop in the bucket from all they could give, and they still have more. Ultimately, the New Testament doesn't make it a rule. The New Testament says, give like Jesus gave. Oh, yeah! So we need to each consider before God how we are going to steward the resources with which he has provided us. And a good steward invests the master's resources in the master's business. You and I are investors with our Savior. We are in business with Jesus. We can use what we have to satisfy our needs and to honor him. Or we can live extravagantly and satisfy ourselves. It's not a guilt thing, it's a grace thing. And as a congregation, we enjoy resources that we have not just for ourselves so that we can come together on Sunday and have a good time to tide us over for the rest of the week. We come to invest our lives in the kingdom of God coming to earth. And we don't exist simply for ourselves as a people. We exist to be salt and light in the world. And we are investing God's resources for God's work. Now, if you were to look at your bulletin, somewhere on one of the multiple pages, there is a report from October about the giving for West Church. And you will find there that we have a significant surplus at the end of October. And that's there for three reasons. The first is that many of you have continued to give faithfully to this ministry despite the setbacks of COVID. Thank you for that. Praise God. The second is that Grace Lee, who was on the payroll, moved to California, and our current praise team gives freely of their skills and abilities to lead us in worship. Thank you for that. The third reason is that many of our ministries have been closed for most of the year due to COVID, and so we haven't had those expenditures. And I'm saddened by that and look forward to the day when that will change. But by God's grace and because of your faithfulness, we will probably end with a surplus this year. And I've begun to discuss with the leadership team and through them to the trustees about whether or not we might want to reinvest that surplus into a new ministry in 2021. Kelly Sawyer mentioned to me that we have 20 junior and senior high students if they all came at the same time. Could we reinvest in them? Perhaps hire a part-time staff member by the end of the year. Investing in the lives of the young people and perhaps in the lives of their families and the lives of our community as well. Stewardship means using the master's resources to advance his interests in the community. If we stay on pace with our giving this year, we will have given over $160,000 to missions. Do you think that's an investment in the kingdom? I know you do. And it's not all about money. It's about our time and our talents and our families and our careers and our bodies and our belongings. Everything we have received, it is a gift from God, and we can take those good things and reinvest them in the kingdom and be in business with Jesus for something better. And the third thing I want you to see as an outcome of that is we both get to enjoy the returns. The master and the servant get to enjoy the returns. Look at verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Verse 23, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Because they had a particular set of lenses on life, they invested in the kingdom of the master. And when the king returns, which is what the Olivet Discourse is all about, he looks at them with glee and says, "I have more for you yet." We said our vision statement is loved by Jesus, loving others. And the most magnificent gift that Jesus has given us is his forgiving love. When we had lived our lives thankless towards God, when we thought all that we had was ours, when really it was all his, Jesus came to redeem us at the time of Advent. He came to remove the guilt of our sin. He came to pay our judgment debt so that he might be our Savior, God might be our Father, and the Spirit might be our Comforter. Has your life been filled with the love of God? It cost God the price of his Son's life to redeem ours. We have this treasury of God's love to share with others. And we can love with our time. We can love with our words. We can love with our money. We can love with our strength. We can love in all these different ways. And God is lavish in his love towards us so that we can be lavish with others. And as a matter of fact, as we act in love towards others, God pours out more upon us. His treasury doesn't run dry. That love can go towards your family, can go towards your friends, can go towards a neighbor in need. It's all an investment, like accruing interest. You see, when we are generous, we don't lose what we invest for God. Jesus gave his life, but in the economy of God, what he gained was his church, his bride. And when we give our lives in the economy of God, what we gain is more of God himself. Sometimes Christianity is portrayed as sacrifice for sacrifice's sake. Christians are to be good little soldiers who do without asking why. Jesus, just buck up like a good soldier, you know? And some people think that a Christian is being sacrificial, but we stand outside the plate glass window looking in at all those who are dining in luxury while we go without. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we have to admit that the weariness and the disappointments of serving the Master sometimes can make that happen, can't they? But that's not the whole truth. Servant number one and servant number two are told to enter into the joy of their Master. They didn't lose anything. They received more. You see, they're wearing a particular set of lenses on life And with all that the master gave them, they used it for the master's glory, and the master celebrated and rewarded their efforts with joy. Love isn't going without and hoping you don't regret it. Love is all in and asking the master for more when it feels like the well is running dry. When you love, you really won't worry that much about how much you give, because the master is leading you. When you love, you really won't worry that much about what you're doing, because the master will guide you. And God will draw, and God will lead, and God will direct, and God will resource everything that he wants us to do. And ours is simply to trust his lead. That is living life through the lenses of stewardship. Before I wrap up, I want to invite each and every one of you, those who are here, there is a Connect card found in the seat in front of you. If you are here for the first time, I want to say welcome. Please come again. I trust that you will learn a perspective on life that is better than the options out there. If you are here for the second time, I'm so grateful that you've returned, and I hope you will continue to find that the way of the Master is the best way to live life now and forever. And you can simply fill out that card and put it in the plate. If there's a response to this morning's message you'd like to share with me, I'd be grateful for that. If there's something that's burning on your heart you'd like us to pray for, you can put that on there too and just drop it in the plates just inside the door before you leave. If you're watching online and you want to respond on Facebook, it's in the little dialogue line on the side. Or on our church's website, it's on the upper right-hand corner. It says, "Let's connect," and you can respond that way. So we've been talking about the lenses of stewardship. And the parable ends with servant three being condemned for his lack of return on investment in verses 29 and 30. It says, "For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He loses all that he has and is cast out into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Pretty sad. Pretty bleak. If we don't use the master's resources for the master's good intentions in our lives, we live for ourselves. Most people do this. They live in God's world. They receive many good things from God. They use those things as they will. Some seem to prosper and be quite blessed. Some seem to struggle and seem quite cursed. Some seem to take life by the horns and they're always celebrating. And some seem to be trampled by life and bitterness. Some seem to rise and ride their success to the stars. And some crash and burn. Through the lenses of stewardship, everyone will give an account to the master. And it's not going to be a success-fail verdict. The question will be, did you know me as master? Did you know me as savior? Or did you treat me as if I didn't exist and live life on your own terms? Did you appreciate or invest then all that I gave you? Or did you believe that all that you have is from me and experience the gratitude and joy that flows out of it? Or did you believe that all you have is yours and seek like this day would never come? Was I your master? Or were you your own master? There comes now joy, or there comes horror. Joy is in the master. Horror is in our own selfish ends. Joy comes from giving thanks. Horror comes from self-centeredness. Can you see how the lenses of stewardship give you a higher, more meaningful perspective on life, both now and beyond? Yield your heart to the Master. Turn from your own selfish ways and your sin to Him. Ask Him to forgive you and have mercy upon you in Jesus' name. And ask Him to grant you a new perspective on life, a new lease on life. The ministry of stewardship is learning how to enjoy and invest all that God provides us with for His kingdom, both now and forever. Let's pray. As earlier today, Lord, so I pray now. Spirit of God, be among us as we're gathered in this place, as we're watching scattered across the globe. Give us lenses on life, like the lenses of Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. For what ends? That He might redeem us. Thank you, God. Grant us redemptive purposes for our lives with everything that we have, and we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.